Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into the Lions 24/7 podcast. I am Tyler Donahue. He is Sean Fitz. Appreciate you joining us as always. If you're listening where you find your podcast, or if you're watching on our YouTube channel at Lions 24/7, nice to have you with us once again. It's our last episode before the Ohio State Penn State matchup, and we spent a lot of time this weekend going over the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, and what this matchup could have been. What it is: number 20 Penn State at 5-2 against a one-loss Ohio State team that is number 5 in the country. 7:30 kickoff Saturday night in Columbus. It's the fifth consecutive season in which both of these teams enter the matchup ranked. Last time that didn't happen, Penn State pulled off the upset in 2016, which is their last victory in this series. Ohio State leads the series overall 21-14, 10-2 in the last 12, 6-1 against James Franklin. And Sean, in order to overcome and avoid a 1-7 record against these Buckeyes, James Franklin is going to have to probably pull off the most impressive game week performance of his Penn State career.
Yeah, great time for it, huh? I mean, you look at everything that's going around in the atmosphere around Penn State football right now, and not a bunch of it has to do with Ohio State. So, you know, maybe that's something that that Ohio State is caught on with. You think that maybe they've thinking that they're trying to pick at a wounded animal right now or something like that. And, you know, maybe that'll turn out in Penn State's favor, but it's going to be a tough one. No doubt about it. Anytime you go into the Horseshoe, it's really one of the big time atmospheres in college football, especially at night, especially in a game that, you know, Ohio State, you think about it, they slip up once, they're probably out of the playoff. So that's really what they've got to play for. And, you know, it's just not a ton of confidence coming from what we saw from Penn State last weekend. We believe Sean Clifford is getting healthier. As we talked about on our episode yesterday, does 100% matter? Not really, because nobody really expects him to be 100%. But how much of that can he do? How much of that can he take care of and take on his shoulders? If he can't, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah. More Clifford talk in a moment here, because that is, yeah, that's everything. That is everything. You can talk about the PJ Mustafa injury, and we were just doing that before the podcast recorded. You can talk about some of the coaching decisions, but at the end of the day, this team's 7-0. If you have a healthy Sean Clifford, in my opinion, and I know Iowa fans will disagree with that wholeheartedly, but where they are right now is 5-2 with one touchdown produced offensively since Sean Clifford was injured. And going into this matchup, I think it's pushing toward 3-touchdown underdog status for Penn State, which is just such a role reversal from last week. And Sean, I think with Sean, who says he thinks he's going to have that mobility this week, he's confident. We've heard from James Franklin again for the second consecutive day after practice on Wednesday, saying that Sean Clifford is going to be as close to 100% as he has been in these last few weeks. And, you know, question I had to ask him, and you wrote about this mobility yesterday. In fact, we both wrote about the importance of Sean Clifford's mobility.
Sorry for doubling up on you, by the way.
it's that important of a subject, but
it really is.
It really comes down to it. No design run against Illinois. Penn State is 9-1 when Sean Clifford goes for 40 plus rushing yards in a game. He had 3 20-plus yard runs, and he had 20 plus yard runs in 3 of the first 6 games, Sean, and yet 0 design runs against Illinois. He had a 2-yard loss on a scramble. He was sacked 4 times. He was wincing in pain, and he did not run the ball when they had it at the 3-yard line on 7 consecutive plays to avoid that loss against Illinois.
If you have to scrap the design runs, the quarterback draws, and some of those reads that he does, that's okay. It's when you take away his ability just to move around and do anything. I mean, you look at the sack that he, I guess it really was credited as a run instead of a sack, where he slid 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Yep. If your quarterback's sliding 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage, you've got problems. And that's, again, a lot of credit for him going out there and toughing it out and everything like that. But if you completely take away his legs, he's not the most accurate quarterback. You're going to ask him to sit back there and pick you apart. And that's just not going to happen with Sean Clifford.
And the other thing that it certainly impacted, and what we heard from Mike Yurcich just a few weeks ago about the thing that really stood out with Sean, was his ability to keep his eyes downfield, understand that the pressure was coming, feel it, evade pressure, and stay behind the line of scrimmage while giving his weapons a chance to make plays and finding them in space. That couldn't happen. There were times last week where you saw him trying to roll outside the pocket. Just the confidence wasn't there. He would pull up when he saw a defender coming. It wasn't the same Sean Clifford, and you understand how limited he was after watching that for 4 hours of football on Saturday. But that really impacted things. At the end of the day, averaging fewer than 5 yards per completion outside of that one touchdown drive that Penn State had. That's on 31 pass attempts, less than 5 yards per completion. There's too many weapons on the field for that to be the case. And certainly when Sean Clifford, though, isn't drawing defenders toward him and presenting that rush threat, that's going to open things up for the defense, and that's going to create more traffic downfield. And when he clearly wasn't where he needed to be from a health standpoint, driving the ball downfield, you know, if he can't pass accurately, then there is not a lot as part of that quarterback makeup, aside from his leadership and maybe avoiding some mistakes, that you can hang your hat on going against a very talented Ohio State defense that has taken some lumps this year. I will say that.
You almost have to wonder if you just have to be a little bit looser with some of those throws and have more of a gunslinger mentality. I know that that hasn't worked out for him in the past, but if that's all you've got to go on, then you maybe have to make some more challenging throws, trust your receivers to go up and get it, and you know, try and pound away at the middle of the field, which college coaches absolutely hate to go to the middle of the field, especially on the road in an environment like this. So I'm very curious to see how aggressive they can be. And like I said, it doesn't have to be with the quarterback runs and design runs, because you don't want to run yourself or run your quarterback into another injury. But at the same time, if he's pulling up behind the line of scrimmage on the first drive of the game, you better settle in and pour yourself a glass, because that's going to be trouble. So I don't think there's an easy answer for this one. We saw yesterday at practice, Taquan Roberson was not there. James Franklin did say after practice that he did practice, which okay. But that's certainly something that you can add to the heap of quarterback problems, or quarterback potential issues moving forward here. So I don't know how it's going to go. As we said, not a great time to go on the road to Columbus, but that's the schedule that's in front of you. Then they'll see what they can do. But if Sean Clifford's going to be asked to sit back in the pocket, and for all the offensive line criticism we have, the pocket has been there fairly consistently, and pick yourself apart, maybe he's got to make some more dangerous throws. Maybe he's got to try to push the ball down the field and see if something can happen. Maybe those passes don't get completed, but maybe those passes back those safeties off a little bit, and you're able to go underneath or potentially get a pass interference call. Pass interference might be one of Penn State's better option play options this week. So we'll see what happens with that. But it's going to be an issue of, if you take away that level of his game, which is so important to his success and so important to this offense's success, then it's really not an ideal situation for Penn State.
I want to circle back to the point you made about, let's say it's the first possession, second possession of the game, Penn State's down 7-0 at that point. You're feeling a little pressure early near midfield. Penn State maybe has a possession, 3rd and 6. Clifford rolls out. There's a clear path that normally Sean Clifford would get that first down. He pulls up, tries to make a difficult throw, or he, you know, he's not able to go pursue that first down. And you know, really early in this game, okay, Sean doesn't have it as a runner today. We heard a lot of good things during the week, but it's not there on the field right now, and it can get bad in Columbus. What's the move then? What is the move if Sean Clifford is not mobile? I can't imagine it could be possibly worse than last week against Illinois, when, again, no design runs, no scrambles for positive yardage, not elongating plays with his legs. What is the move? Because you can't just send him out for 12 possessions and say, okay, we've got a passer, Sean Clifford, who can't run, and we're just going to keep doing it. What is the move? Because I don't know where it is. And you're going to make me bring up Tyler Warren again in a moment.
I was wondering if that was the direction that this was going.
I'm going
to
get
there. I don't know, man. This is typically where you say you need to run the football, but Penn State, the way that they run the football, you don't have trust in that. You don't have the ability to move people out of the way, and you're facing one of the more talented defenses that you'll see all season. You know, you've got to do better on first down. Penn State's been atrocious on getting where they need to get to. You mentioned 3rd and 6. 3rd and 6 is optimistic for this group, yes, sometimes. Yes. So you got to get yourself to 3rd and 4. And I would argue, if you're midfield, you're probably in 4-down territory, because you have to steal possessions. You have to steal points anytime that you can get them, and try not to, you know, pinning Ohio State back hasn't worked very well in the last couple of years. I mean, you look at what they've been able to do, because I think they're going to run the ball and try to run the ball right at that defensive line and probably have some success with it. But it's going to be tough because if this defense can't, or excuse me, if this offense can't keep the defense off the field, it just continues to be a long day. So I don't have an answer for you. Again, it would be certainly ideal if he was able to run and get out of trouble and maybe recognize that you gotta, you know, take 3 yards and take a knee or take a slide or something like that and just stay out of harm's way, which is fine. But it's not the Clifford that's going to break off the 40-yard run and you know, show that what we call sneaky athleticism that we've seen so many times from him.
In a couple games against Ohio State, I don't know if I mentioned this in the last episode or not, but 5 total rushing yards in 2 starts against the Buckeyes. He was out of the game at halftime. I'm going to talk about that 2019 matchup and what happened there in a moment. But so again, I just think this is a real question that is so difficult to answer. And I still want to harp on it for a moment because Taquan Roberson, again, we were out in the practice field for 18 minutes. I don't know what it was yesterday. He wasn't, as far as we could tell. It was Sean Clifford. It was Christian Veyer. And then it was Mason Stahl, a walk-on quarterback. And Christian is a true freshman who is 6'4", maybe 200 pounds, and has not played live football action since he was on a high school field in 2019. So I don't think that's who you're turning to on the road in Columbus in this matchup. And I bring up Tyler Warren because I brought it up yesterday to James Franklin, and he said, well, if you know, it's a Wildcat package. They have it for him. But if you bring him in there, you're losing things from the passing game, and then you're losing things from your offensive arsenal. And I think my counterpoint is, if Sean Clifford isn't mobile, you've already lost not half of what Sean Clifford can do, but you've already eliminated the rushing threat at quarterback. So if you're playing with that shorthanded deck, I don't necessarily see where, if you've got a 3rd-and-2 situation at midfield, or if you're managed to get there, if you're on the goal line at the doorstep, and whether it's 3rd down or 2nd down or 1st down, you need someone who's going to go churn out some yards. I keep going back to Tyler Warren. Maybe it's not fair to him because maybe he wanted to leave the whole quarterback thing back in high school. He wants to be a tight end. He wants to get to the next level at the tight end position. But right now I'm reviewing what Penn State has from a personnel standpoint and what they could possibly do in this really tough environment if Sean Clifford can't get mobile. I keep thinking of Tyler Warren, and I know Franklin made the point is, well, then you're going to lose some things in the passing game. But if on the flip side, you're sticking with someone who completely removes an element of rushing attack from your backfield at the quarterback spot, you're already playing from shorthanded. So I think that's kind of the risk you got to make.
First off, there's never been a tight end that hasn't wanted to run the football. That's a tight end's dream. Absolutely, right there,
right?
Just right below the offensive lineman that wants to do it. But no, it's I just don't know that you gain enough from him as a passer. I know he's a high school quarterback. His only pass that we've seen this year wasn't particularly good. Should have, you know, if he puts that closer, closer to the numbers, then that game's probably with a different outcome. So I don't know that you, as you say, you lose a lot with Sean Clifford not being able to run. I don't know that you gain that much with Tyler Warren to be a passer. So I get what you're saying. And certainly that makes sense from the fact that if he can get it across the line of scrimmage, get it where he needs to be, on a 5-yard out or something like that. Okay. But you're playing against Ohio State's defensive backs. I mean, there's a significant drop off from Sean Clifford throwing the ball to Tyler Warren throwing the ball. So you're almost better off and going with a couple of running backs back there. If you're going to go Wildcat or something like that, I know that Penn State's running backs have not been good this year.
Yeah. Who's your power running back? Who is the power running back?
Exactly. You've got a chance to gain 8-12 yards instead of Tyler Warren. You're thinking 1-3 yards. I mean, that's a short yardage package for a reason. And I think you did kind of clarify that with Franklin when you were asking him the question about it being a short yardage situation. But I just you're going to have to trust the wrinkles and see if there's anything else that Mike Yurcich has in that bag, because I don't know that that's the way to beat Ohio State in Columbus.
There were no wrinkles, though, from a rushing perspective with Sean Clifford. He was purely a one-dimensional quarterback last week. Put away everything we know about Sean Clifford, his ability to move, that athleticism, the 4.5 240. He was a completely one-dimensional quarterback against Illinois. They scored 10 points against Illinois. They lost in overtime. They couldn't punch it in from the Noah Cain hasn't proven to be the power guy. Kevon Lee hasn't proven to be the power guy. Maybe this is just one where Penn State doesn't have the answer. And I don't know if it's part of that whole quarterback room conversation and there's not a guy there that can maybe handle those short yardage rushing duties, but whatever it is, to me, this is going to be obvious early. And if a one-dimensional Sean Clifford is still in the game in the 3rd quarter, I don't know how you come back from some kind of deficit. And that's where I'll get to right now, because that's what you had, a one-dimensional Sean Clifford on the road against Ohio State in 2019. Remember, he was banged up coming out of the Minnesota game. They went home. I think they beat Indiana the game after that. They beat somebody in between Ohio State, and Sean Clifford was not himself, wasn't accurate, wasn't the runner. Went to Ohio State, non-factor as runner, 6 carries, 0 yards against the Buckeyes, 10 of 17 passing for 71 yards, and then he didn't come back out at quarterback in the second half. They put in Will Levis, 6 of 11 passing, 57 yards, scored a touchdown on the ground. Journey Brown got some things going, but they scored 17 points. They lost to Ohio State 28-17. And the other matchup this week kind of reminds me of where the conversation is, what are you going to get from a mobile perspective at your quarterback? Is 2018, that trip to Michigan with McSorley. The question was all about coming out of an Iowa win where he ran the ball but got hurt. Can he be effective against a talented Michigan defense on the road? That was a number 14 Penn State versus number 5 Michigan matchup, and it was a disaster. McSorley could not move. He lost 6 yards as a runner cumulatively, 5 of 13 passing for 83 yards, interception. You put Tommy Stevens in the game briefly. He threw an interception. 42-7 was the final score, and these were nightmare games, and I just bring them up because – I point to those big matchups on the road, national spotlight kind of situations where a big part of the conversation all week is, will your quarterback be ready? The head coach is expressing confidence. He did the same thing for Trace McSorley back in 2018. I think he probably did the same thing for Sean Clifford back in 2019, expressing confidence. If you're going to put him out there at quarterback, you'll get what you get. But after both of those games, whether it was McSorley or Clifford, Franklin said, we didn't have the rushing threat that we require at quarterback for him to maximize this offense. And I just wonder, can Penn State fans stomach hearing that same kind of comment coming out of Columbus if it turns that way?
I don't think so. I mean, this is a very similar game to that Michigan game. I feel, confident that, even James Franklin said it. He said Trace McSorley earned the benefit of the doubt going into that game. Kind of said the same thing about Sean Clifford this week. You had Tommy Stevens behind him, but fairly unproven. And by the way, you mentioned that and gave me the flashbacks to one of the worst picks I've ever seen.
That was bad.
He threw it right to the Michigan defender. That's the type of situation that you're dealing with. Roberson, if he is still there, doesn't instill confidence. Vayer, as you said, not really. I mean, we haven't seen anything from him. So where do you go from there? So quite possibly, thanks to the situation that they're in, a worse spot than they were in going into that Michigan game. So we'll see. A lot of this is going to be on those guys around Clifford, and everything comes back to the quarterback. Don't get me wrong, yeah. But going to be on those guys around Clifford. Typically you can lean on a running game. You can't do that right now. You need Jahan Dotson to essentially have a Heisman performance this weekend. If you're trying to get where you want to be, Parker Washington, those tight ends need to be a lot better. That's a tall order for Penn State going into this weekend.
And then there's the offensive line. And historically, this has been the game season after season where they go from maybe being a good offensive line to an average or subpar offensive line, or an average offensive line to an underwhelming offensive line. Right now, they're already in underwhelming category. Where could it go from here? Because tell you what, we don't know who's playing center. We think we know who the 5 are going to be in the starting lineup. We don't think there's a lot of guys outside of the starting lineup right now that Phil Troutwine and James Franklin are going to be comfortable plugging in there and playing in this matchup. And oh, by the way, there's just a few blue chips on that Ohio State defensive front 7.
Yeah, I mean, that's a talented group. It's probably not as good as it's been in the past. They've got some really good players out there. Zach Harrison was a 5-star. Haskell Garrett's coming back and doing some good things. Those linebackers can be, they can be exposed. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a big part, especially before the coaching change, or not really the coaching change, but the coordinator play caller change that they had, that those linebackers were actually getting cooked. So if you've got an opportunity, if these tight ends can get over that hump, or if you got Parker Washington working in the middle of the field, or Keandre Lambert-Smith taking advantage of a matchup or something like that, you can have success against this Ohio State defense. But they're playing a lot more confident than they were at the beginning of the season. They know that Clifford is wounded, and they're going to go after him, I think. So it's really going to be, you're going to have to play your best ball to get past those. I think there's a path to it working, but can you sustain it for 60 minutes is the big question.
It's been a glass half full kind of week. So I do want to say, if on that 3rd and 6 play, Sean Clifford takes off, picks up 8 yards, does a first down signal and runs back and fired up his guys, then who knows? Who knows? I mean, let's see. Let's see. I don't want to say already Sean Clifford is lying to us and James Franklin's lying to us and he's going to go out there and look exactly like he did against Illinois. They're not going to tell us trust me, I know that we're not getting the full story from everybody involved on Sean Clifford's health. That's not going to be the case going to a game. But I do want to be careful in assuming that he's going to look that way, because he could go out there, he'd get fired up, and maybe he captures for 60 minutes some really special football. And if he can do that, I'll give Penn State a chance. It's still going to take some breaks for them, I think. But I don't want to write off Sean Clifford just yet, because he deserves us to at least see him go out there, take some snaps, and see what he can do with the football.
Yeah, and what else are you going to do? I mean, that's the thing that it comes down to. It's not like you've got a guy that you're ready to throw in there, especially if you go with especially given what we saw from Taquan Roberson against Iowa.
The other thing here that I think is really, I don't necessarily know how important it is to everybody in that locker room and these guys I'm going to talk about. The 2017 class came in. They were fresh off, seeing Penn State win the Big Ten title, using that victory over Ohio State as a launch pad toward that championship game. They lose this matchup in Columbus. They're coming back 0-5, 0-5 in their career against Ohio State. And you know that was a big point of emphasis coming to campus, trying to leapfrog Ohio State in this division. They were in their second year on campus when James Franklin delivered that great to elite speech. Now they're in year five. Talked a little bit, got some feedback from guys like Ellis Brooks, Sean Clifford on this subject. Other players, as you'd imagine, didn't want to touch it, wanted to stay in the 1-0 mentality. But let's face it, these guys wanted to come and they wanted to beat Ohio State. And if they get on the plane and come back to State College and they have never done that in a Nittany Lions uniform, including Sean Clifford at quarterback, that really says kind of a lot about where Penn State ended up here in its trajectory under James Franklin, because it just has been the brick wall, and it's been that way for a lot of the Big Ten, but this is the one. Penn State has had its crosshairs on the Buckeyes for a while now. They've signed some of these recruiting classes that have come in. The mentality has been, how do we make Penn State better than Ohio State? How do we make sure Penn State has that path to Indianapolis on an annual basis? And 0-5, that just sounds really bad. And I know it must really bother Franklin. Deep down inside.
I mean, to their credit, they've done better than Jim Harbaugh. So you've got that going for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, I mean, that's where it is. I mean, Ohio State has been the measuring stick for so long, and that's a heck of a brick wall to overcome. Penn State's played them well, probably better than most teams in the Big Ten, up there with Michigan State. I know Iowa's had some success, but it's a big one to scale. And you look at what Ohio State has done over the last decade plus, and it's just distance themselves from the rest of the conference. And really, not to get into a Franklin conversation, but you look at the investment from Ohio State, you look at what they've done to become a program that's up there with Alabama, that's up there with those other great, Clemson obviously down this year, but the investment. I mean, you think Ryan Day's having the conversations that James Franklin's having this weekend or this week about getting what he wants and making the program, getting the program the essentials that it needs, whether it be for him or for the next guy. It's not that hard to do at Ohio State. So to their credit, they've done a nice job of striking while the iron's hot. Of course, Urban Meyer did not hurt that in that sense. Mm-hmm. But that's how to run a football program. And that's the blueprint. That's where Penn State wants to be. I'm sitting in Bill O'Brien's office 8 years ago or whatever. I mean, that's the blueprint for then too, and is to get where they needed to be, because As many advances as James Franklin has made in his tenure, and this group has made in his tenure, they were so far behind when Bill O'Brien came along. So it's continuing to try and play catch up. And when the entity that you're trying to catch up with is moving faster than everybody else anyway, that's really tough.
That last time O'Brien coached Penn State against Ohio State on the road in Columbus, 63-14 loss. And it was a 2016 win that snapped a four-game losing streak against Ohio State for Penn State. They have kind of now followed that with a four-game losing streak. And if a fifth consecutive loss happens, that will be the longest losing streak. Again, 35 games in this series, 21-14 Ohio State leading that way. And after that win in 2016, it was a couple matchups where Penn State had a fourth quarter lead, lost by 1 point in both occasions. Didn't have Clifford on the road in 2019, and we know what happened in 2020, part of that spiral for Penn State. And here, another unique circumstance where it doesn't seem like Penn State is going to have a full capacity quarterback on the road in Columbus. Sean, keys to the game here. We heard a ton from Patrick Murphy, who does a great job with Ohio State's site here on 24/7 Sports. Spent 20 minutes with us going over special teams, defense, offense, the ins and outs. Let's talk about a little bit more of that before we get to our predictions for Penn State versus Penn State. He said it's a pick-your-poison situation right now with this Ohio State offense. There was an early conversation, and this speaks about the Buckeyes quarterback room, but did they have the right starting quarterback? Did they make a mistake? Did they need to make a change? Well, here we are later, and it looks like they've got another good one on their hands. C.J. Stroud in that Heisman conversation. He's got three guys with 500-plus yard receiving performances thus far in the season. Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave both over 30 catches to this point. And then Jeremy Ruckert, I feel like, is the guy who you forget about a little bit in the passing game. He breaks your back on a third down or in the red zone. But the story to me here, Sean, and the guy I asked James Franklin about yesterday, he said he has changed the Buckeyes offense. Trevion Henderson, scintillating freshman that Penn State's going to have to deal with here for the next couple of years. He's almost at 700 rushing yards, almost 9 yards per carry, 14 total touchdowns, 11 on the ground, 3 through the air. And we just saw what Illinois' running backs did. And I don't think a lot of people, even in the Penn State fan base, could name multiple Illinois running backs going into that game last week.
Yeah, that's for sure. I walked away and got a cup of coffee while you were going through all the weapons, so I assume you covered them all.
Yeah, got
but Trevion Henderson is a special back. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's a three-and-done cat for them, just incredibly talented. And it's not, you know, they've had some really good backs in the past, and you think, you know, over the years that but nobody really has had the kind of big play speed that he has. I mean, they've had big plays, don't get me wrong, but this kid is different in that sense. And, you know, you flip the ball out to him on a screen and he all of a sudden he ends up 70 yards later, just run away from everybody. And that's something you have to deal with. You know, you look at what Penn State has been able to do this year. And yes, they're susceptible to run now, especially after the Mustafer injury. So I expect Ohio State to come out and try and pound them away. But the screens and things are just what has killed Penn State in the past. You remember the Dwayne Haskins games. And,
oh, my
and,
gosh.
You know, Haskins obviously, yeah. You know, made some money off of those performances. Yeah. But a lot of screen stuff, a lot of things where you're slipping out of tackles close to the line of scrimmage. And that's really what Penn State's got to avoid. I mean, their tackling was subpar against Illinois last weekend. And you can't have that against anybody, let alone the number, five team in the country as they are right now. So the screen game, I think, is going to be important. I do expect Ohio State to come out and try and pound it away with Henderson and their other backs are really good too. But just move that defensive line out of the way. If you're Penn State, you almost have to play it like you're in Iowa, like you're a Purdue, something like that. A lot of stunts, a lot of moving around. Excuse me, I don't know what just happened there, but a lot of stunts, a lot of moving around, and doing some things to really get that offensive line maybe thinking and get them in the wrong spot. And all of a sudden you pop up with a tackle for loss with Brandon Smith or Curtis Jacobs or Ellis Brooks or something like that. Linebackers obviously have to be better than they were last week, but yeah, you've got to keep your head on and play fundamental football. I think it got away from Penn State last week in terms of filling gaps, in terms of backside pursuit, tackling and things like that. You can't have that this week. Be interesting to see, you know, when we get into these big time games, and I know that this one's kind of lost its luster, but Ohio State has, you know, coached as if they are trying to move the football, trying to be a little bit more conservative and wait to strike. And I'm curious if that's going to be the same case this week with Ryan Day, with the way that they're attacking, because they have made their living on big plays. They certainly have the weapons to do so, but can you do that against the secondary? Huge test for the secondary. They're going to give up yards. I mean, let's be honest here. I think Penn State's going to give up a lot of yards, whether it be the run or the pass. But it's got to be the situation where you try and keep them out of the end zone. That's really your big shot if you're Penn State.
If you love those perimeter battles, you just appreciate one-on-one matchups. This is going to be, I mean, really, really fun stuff. The game might not be fun for Penn State, but these guys, this is the Ohio State wide receiver group, this Penn State defensive backfield, can't say it enough how impressed I've been. There have been missed opportunities. You have to keep noting that with some of the dropped interceptions here. But overall, this defensive backfield, I feel like, has lived up to the billing. There's a lot of stuff we hear offseason by offseason that doesn't always get generated in reality when the season arrives. I think the hype has been real for this defensive backfield, but this is a huge test. And to me, I want to focus on the slot because that is where they have been burnt a lot against Ohio State. And that was Lamont Wade's coverage last year. It's no longer the case.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely look at the matchups that they have, and it's kind of like what we've said with, you know, those receivers are fantastic, but they'll put Jeremy Ruckert in the slot, and yes, he'll just be Jeremy Ruckert against Daquan Hardy. that might be an issue for Penn State because he can go up and get it. Very talented tight end, kid from New York. But it's, it's going to be a place where you try and figure out what you can do. Is Curtis Jacobs going to be the guy that stays on the field maybe a little bit more because of the matchups and things like that? But that's a problem when you've got talented receivers like they have in Wilson, Olave, and Smith and Jigba. Smith and Jigba, to me, can be an X factor here because you can go three wide and also, you know, kind of flex Ruckert out, and all of a sudden you're going to have problems in that matchup. So Penn State secondary is great as it's been. I think they're going to give up some plays. They're going to give up some yards, and it's just about keeping in front of you. They have to capitalize. I mean, Stroud, not the most experienced quarterback out there. So if he does let one fly, you got to get your hands on it. You got to get your hands under it and make those plays. You can't be settling for knockdowns in some of those situations. And that's not fair to defensive backs because knockdowns are good plays. But if you're looking to go on the road and beat Ohio State, they have to turn into interceptions, just kind of like what we talked about with those receivers going down the field for Penn State.
Yeah, and I mean, we heard the Penn State coaching staff on the field yesterday, you know, kind of hammering that home, led by Brent Pry, defense coordinator. Yeah. Like, you got to go. If the opportunities come, you got to seize them in this matchup. Sean, just a few minutes left here on the podcast. Wanted to get your thoughts here on ways to get Jahan Dotson involved, because to me, that's the thing here. Again, 2 years ago, quarterback play was an issue that kind of negated KJ Hamler, who was also dealing with an injury. Can you get Jahan Dotson teed up here? It doesn't need to be 9-10 times. Can he get 2 or 3 opportunities where he's got some space in the open field? Because that's been really a complete missing component. It's great when he makes those tough catches in traffic, but I think to me, in a game like this where you wonder how can Penn State generate points, can they generate 10 play drives? You want to find Jahan Dotson in space, give him a chance to make a move, maybe pick up 50 yards in a hurry.
Drag routes, absolute killer for some of these defenses. And he said it the other day. Our guest said it the other day. Patrick, I'm sorry, I just forgot his name all of a sudden. But getting behind that second level, we know that those linebackers struggle to run with folks in the slot. So I would not be shocked to see Dotson moving all over the field, trying to get it done, and then trying to get in behind that second level. The safeties are talented. I don't know that they're the most experienced. When you lose 4 guys to the NFL or 3 guys to the NFL in that secondary, that tends to happen sometimes, but they're playing some pretty good football. So I work them across the middle of the field. I know I've been stumping for Parker Washington in that role this week, but any way that you can get him out there and get him 10 or 15 targets, I mean, might as well.
Yeah, and whatever Jordan Stout can do to help out the process with this defense, because I think barring a major bounce back that I just don't see really happening for Penn State offensively, there's going to be a lot of punts. And Jordan Stout, if he can boom 50.
What more can Jordan Stout do?
It really can't do much. Just... I guess you need more of the same from Jordan Stout, because if things go awry for him, then that's a real issue. You can't give Ohio State the short field over and over again, because it will not take long for them to get to the end zone on you and start putting up big points. And I will say, I do have too much respect for Penn State's defense, what they have, and the way they're playing. I mean, I know they gave up 350 rushing yards, but they gave up 10 points in regulation, okay? And they came up with some key stops in that overtime session. And you can't pin that Iowa game on them either. But Ohio State's just going to overmatch them, I think, as this game goes on, because I do believe, like the last few games, it's going to get away from Penn State in terms of being able to keep their offense on the field. That means more defense on the field. That means more reps for these Ohio State playmakers. And ultimately, you're going to have that depth challenge up front for Penn State. And I think that's just an equation that is completely untenable on Saturday night.
Yeah, I agree with you. Did you give a prediction there?
I'll get to it now. 34-20, Ohio State wins this one. I think it's going to be like a 10-14 point margin when we're getting into the second quarter toward halftime. And I just don't think right now, unless Sean Clifford truly is 100%, and maybe even more than that, that I don't see Penn State having the capability to reverse course from that kind of a deficit. And I think it kind of maintains its way the rest of the way. A guy like Travion Henderson breaks a play late and helps put this one away for Ohio State, 34-20. And unfortunately for Penn State, a 3-game losing streak.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I agree that it'll probably be a close game for a little while. Ohio State, I think, is going to come and try and run it down their throats as they did in 2019, went march right down the field and made it happen. I'm looking forward to seeing if the secondary is good. They're going to be tested. Obviously, those guys make contested catches better than anybody, maybe in the country. Especially Olave has been phenomenal in that regard throughout his career. So good coverage, might not get it done, but I'm very curious to see if they step up to the challenge, because the secondary, I think, has a ton of talent. And you see, like last week, it didn't really matter. They gave up 38 yards through the air, but it didn't really matter. So when a team comes in that can throw the ball like this, I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do. I have Ohio State 41-17. I don't have a ton of confidence after seeing what we saw last week. Maybe Penn State's defense, is able to hold and force some field goals, do some things like that. But you can't keep putting them in the same situation over and over again, because when you play the top tier teams, as they will do this weekend, it's really going to be an unfair advantage for Ohio State if your defense is playing out there gassed. And I agree with you that depth issues have really shown through in some spots. The injuries have not been ideal, obviously, as no injury is. But it's just going to be one of those things where you can see this one getting away from Penn State because of the atmosphere that they're playing in, because of that they don't have their quarterback 100%. So I don't know that Ohio State is elite. They obviously lost to Oregon. Oregon did some things to stymie them, and I'm sure they've watched that tape a few times. And on top of that, as Patrick said the other day, that it's not exactly like they played Murderer's Row in the last couple of weeks that they've kind of run roughshod over. But I still think they're good enough and can put themselves away. And they're playing confident. That's the thing. I don't know that Penn State's playing confident right now, and that's going to be a tough one for them to overcome if you go into the horseshoe waiting for plays to be made around you.
It's a difficult moment here for Penn State, because it feels like almost every season these two teams seem to walk off the field after playing heading in very different directions for the remainder of that season. And feels like the case here, if Penn State comes back at 5-3 and all the questions about Franklin, not going to get any more quiet coming off of a loss like that. But if anybody wants a little bit of optimism sprinkled in their life going into the weekend, Sean and I both picked Penn State to win by more than 3 touchdowns last Saturday against Illinois. So
yeah, we were loud wrong last week. So hopefully we are really wrong this week. Yeah. That'd be great.
Well, whatever happens, we'll be back with you Saturday night to break down the outcome between Ohio State and Penn State. When that rolls around, we'll get it up. It'll probably be late, so maybe something you pick up on Sunday morning. Maybe something you avoid, depending on how the game goes. But Sean and I will be back with you Saturday night. Thanks again to Patrick Murphy for breaking down the Buckeyes with us earlier in the week. Very helpful for our coverage. And certainly Lance Glenn, our producer, for doing everything he does behind the scenes. As always, thank you for listening to the Lions 24/7 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.